In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, and is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're on Luisa finds that peace is everything in the most holy divine will, and this is part one. We are on the bottom of page 5, volume 4, 429-1902. You yourself cannot comprehend that when not everything is dry in the soul, complacency is a humor, satisfaction is a humor, one's own taste is a humor, self-esteem is a humor. On the other hand, when everything is dry and the soul operates, these humors have no place from which to arise, and the divine fire, finding only the soul naked, as dry as she was created by it, with no other extraneous humors, since this it is something that belongs to it, it is extremely easy for it to convert her into its very divine fire. So here, Jesus is saying that the divine will is everything. And when it's wet, basically, when it's there's not this dryness of this divine fire, you have yourself, your complacency, satisfaction, your own taste, self-esteem. It comes to life, and Jesus is showing us very, very clearly that when we are living in that divine fire, we participate in it. So he says this, and after this, Luisa says, I was fused in her. God says this, after this, I, God, fused in the soul a garment of peace. And this peace is preserved by an interior obedience and kept by an external obedience. Sorry about that. This peace gives birth to the whole of God within the soul, that is to all the works of God, all the virtues and the ways of the humanate word, in such a way that one can see in the soul God's simplicities, God's humility, the dependency of God's infantile life, and the perfection of his adult virtues, then mortifications, the crucifixion of his dying. So here we're seeing all of Jesus in the soul. With this obedience, this peace, this garment of peace that Jesus wants us to possess, is preserved by the interior obedience. Obedience to Christ and his church, or obedience to the commandments, or obedience to God. And he says very, very clearly that what we see is in God, in Jesus Christ, his simplicity, his humility, his dependency, his perfection, his virtues, his mortification, his crucifixion, and his dying. We see in Christ everything that was obedient to God, to the Father. And this brings the peace. If you are not peaceful, everything is worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. If you're not peaceful, if you're not obedient to Christ and his church, you're afraid. I mean, what's happening today in the world, you know, there's many people that are terrified. There are many people that are upset and complaining and negative. With Christ, everything is peaceful, joyfulness, and happiness. Heaven begins to live in the soul that is one with Christ. And this is why we focus on Jesus. Peace gives birth to the whole of God within the soul. God wants to reign in us. God wants us to learn from him how to live. Okay, the interior of Christ was obedient. His exterior was obedience. And then when we learn from Jesus this obedience to Christ and his church, what happens is God becomes alive in us. But it always begins from this. one who wants the whole of Christ must give everything to Christ. If you want to live this life, you must surrender to this life. It's not to surrender to any other way of living. It's to begin to live an abundant life that God wants for us. God wants us to begin to live this abundant life. He wants us to begin to live this new and beautiful life of Jesus reigning in us. Not the fallen nature anymore. Not the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin. So Jesus looks at us and he says, I've got great plans for you. I've got wonderful plans for you. And it's to begin to live this abundant life. That's what God is asking. So he says, be obedient to Christ and his church. Then you can be peaceful. Then God can begin to reign in you. Volume 5, 5, 11, 1903. Put all your passions in their place. But what triumphs over everything, establishes all the good in the soul, and sanctifies everything, is to do everything for God. That is to operate with the upright intention of pleasing God alone. You know, this is the thing that the Lord shows the little children of the holy divine will, to be alone with Christ every day. To spend time, if you can, in front of the Blessed Sacrament, to be in time throughout the day focusing on Jesus. Our intellect has to begin to think with the mind of Christ. Our memory must be that of Jesus. And our human will has to be surrendered so the divine will can reign in us. This is how you put your passions in their place. And it triumphs over everything, God says, establishes all the good of the soul and sanctifies everything. Everything becomes beautiful, peaceful, joyful, and happy. Everything is being sanctified within, through, and for Jesus, as Jesus does everything within, through, and for us. Everything that we do is for God. To operate with a right, upright intention of pleasing God alone. So when you wake up in the morning and you do your prevenient act, and then your actual acts throughout the day, this is what God is waiting for. If we do this with a prevenient act and then our actual acts, how beautiful life is, how magnificent life is. So the Lord looks at us and the Lord says, I've got plans for you. And we say, yes, Lord. And he goes, good. He says, come to me, all you are that are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. Yes, Lord. He says, spend time with me. And we go, yes, Lord. Since God has given us the book of heaven, when we read every day, Jesus is speaking to us every day. He's enlarging our capacity every day to know him more. And to get to know the Lord is why we're here. To get to fall in love with God is why we're here on earth. And the more that we spend time with our Lord, you know, in front of the monstrance, in front of listening to him, speak to us when we pray, praying, God praying in our praying, what happens is we become peaceful, joyful, and happy. We begin to live heaven on earth. Volume 5, 10, 12, 1903. Moreover, these thorns signify that I am the true and only King, and only one who constitutes me King of her heart enjoys peace, enjoys happiness, and I, God, constitute that soul queen of my own kingdom. So here, especially during Lent, focusing on the thorns of Christ crucified, the three crownings of Jesus during his passion. He says, this is his crown. His crown was to purify us, to bring us back to where we were before the fall. He took upon himself all of our sins. He took upon himself all of our deaths. He died for each and every one of us. He suffered for each and every one of us. He bought each and every one of us with his precious blood, shedding every drop of his blood. He is the true and only King. This is why each of us should have a crucifix in our room, looking at Christ crucified. This is his throne. He's upon his throne. Christ crucified is the glory of God. It's the power of God. The devil would rather have you have a cross without Jesus on it than with Christ crucified. Why? Because he was defeated through the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And when he sees Christ crucified, he knows he is defeated. You know, the thing that's so sad is today, you know, people put words on a cross or a dove on the cross or flowers on the cross, a heart on the cross. It's got to be Christ crucified. This is these thorns, these nails, this scourging signifies that I am God, the true and only King. And one who constitutes me king, okay, you are my Savior, my Master, my God. He says, you're the King of my heart. Then, and only then, will you enjoy true peace, true happiness, true joy, knowing Christ, surrender to Christ. And Jesus says, then I constitute that soul the queen of my own kingdom. See, we want what God wants for us. He wants us to be with, in, through, and for him, as he has done everything with, through, and for us. And this mutual possession, God possessing us, us possessing God, he says, my kingdom is your kingdom now. I want you to be clothed in divinity. I want you to receive your royal garments again. I want you to recognize your divine inheritance. And this is why we're joyful. We are closer to Jesus because of what he taught Louisa. We're closer to Jesus by putting into practice these truths that he gave to Louisa. And this is the thing that God has blessed us with. How fortunate we are to be alive at this time. How fortunate we are to begin to live this abundant life that our Lord has given us. Volume 5, 10:30, 1903. I could not see Jesus, but I felt that with Jesus' hands, Jesus was retouching me all over, rubbing my mouth, my mind, etc. He made me all shiny, and since I could not see him, my mind continued to raise doubts, and he, Jesus, making himself seen again, added, you still don't want to stop it. He says, you still don't want to stop it. You want to make my work in you disappear, because by doubting, you are not at peace. And since I am the fount of peace, as the one who guides you, does not see you at peace, you shall cause him to doubt that it is not the King of Peace who dwells in you. So here, Jesus is showing us, I am, he uses God's name again, I am the fount of peace. When you are doubting, you are not peaceful. And I find that most people doubt throughout the day. Most people cause Jesus to be saddened by their doubt, saddened by their fear and their anxiety, their complaints, their negativity. And he says very clearly, when I don't see you peaceful, you're showing that I am not the King of Peace who dwells in you. You know, we have to fight doubt and discouragement as you would fight hell itself. We've said this before. Doubt and discouragement leads to despair. Despair, you can't get into heaven with despair. And once this begins in you, you've got to say, no, I trust Jesus, I trust in you. Why do you think Pope St. John Paul II gave us in the beginning of the third millennium Jesus, I trust in you. Why did he do this? Because he read what Jesus taught St. Faustina. The final devotion that I'm giving to my church before I return is divine mercy. I mean, you have to hear what Jesus says. The final devotion that I'm giving to my church before I return is divine mercy. 4 years later, in 2004, at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, St. John Paul II said, now we're going to begin a new and divine way of holiness. We're going to begin to live in a new and divine way of holiness. You know, this is what the divine will is all about. When you are not peaceful, when you're doubting, and I find people doing this, well, I really doubt that. You know, when Jesus says, I want to reign in you, I want you to possess me, I want to possess you, I want you to participate in me. And somebody goes, well, I don't think that's going to happen. God says it can't. Because you've doubted. You've put a distance between me and you. I am not the King of Peace who dwells in you. Because of your doubt. Because of your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity. I can't be there. And this saddens the Lord. The little children of the Holy Divine Will are filled with trust and confidence in God. We believe that Jesus is reigning in us. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop this. God is reigning. And he looks at us and he says, you know, let me reign in you. Let me fill you with my peace, my joy, my happiness. This is what the priest says every day at Holy Mass. By putting the drop of water into the chalice, may we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. God is saying, I want more for you than being good and holy and saintly. I want you to share in my divinity. When you worry, when you're fearful, when you're anxious, when you're complaining, when you doubt, it causes Jesus to be sad. He's done everything for us, within, through, and for us. And now he's saying, now is the time where the kingdom is going to be established in each soul who wants this, as the saints possess it in heaven. The kingdom of God is going to be on earth as it is in heaven. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father. So he looks at us and he says, do you want this? And when we say yes, then God goes, good. Be peaceful, be joyful, be happy. I'm reigning in you, if you let me. But once we're not peaceful, joyful, and happy, once we're doubting, Jesus says, I can't be there. I can't be there. He looks for that which reflects him. This is where the peace, the joy, the happiness comes in. You know, the sarcasm has to disappear. The negativity has to disappear. It can't. Jesus is not there with that. He flees because this is not who he is. So he looks at us and he says, you do not want to be attentive. Okay, what does attentive mean in the divine will? Read, study, and put this into practice. Become fluent with this language of heaven. Begin to trust in God, believe in God, hope in God, have confidence in God. This is what the Lord is waiting for. And again, if you are doubting, fearful, anxious, complaining, you really drive Jesus away. And he can't give you what he wants to give you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I hope in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You're my King. You're my God. You're my all. You're everything. Jesus says, be attentive. He says, want to be attentive. What does that mean? You have to want to read, to hear Jesus speaking to you. to put everything in order. Jesus says, it is true that I myself do everything in the soul in such a way that without me the soul would do nothing, but it is also true that I always leave a thread of the will to the soul, so that the soul too might be able to say, I do everything of my own will. So here Jesus is saying, what do you desire? He says, this desire is what he's talking about. I do everything of my own will. I desire this. I want this. And then when you do your rounds, you do your acts in the divine will, it's to say to Jesus, I want you, Lord, to love in my loving, to praise in my praising, to glorify in my glorying. I want you to do this. I can't do it well. You do it very well. This is what I want. God goes, good, this is what I want. I'm your prayer. I am praying and you're praying. I'm desiring and you're desiring, and you're just cooperating with me. You're just saying yes. See, the thing that the Lord loves is are you longing to hear, see, smell, taste, and touch all the I love yous of creation? Are you longing to, with your senses, enter into all the I love yous of redemption? Are you longing with all your senses, sanctify everything? This is Jesus saying, you breathe in my breathing. I want you to have perfect reign in me. I want you to rule in me. I want everything that you want for me. I give up everything so that you can reign in me. See, do you see what Jesus is doing? He's offering us at this time everything that he gave to Louisa. What did Jesus give to Louisa? It was the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. And he says to us, do you want this? Do you want this? I'll give it to you if you wish it. I'll give it to you if you want it. So the Lord looks at us and he says, hang on to your hats, great things are coming. Hang on to your hats, wonderful things are coming. And he looks at us and he pleads with us. He begs us to allow him to reign in us to such a degree that he is there. That's what he's looking for. So Jesus says, so by being restless, you break this thread of union with me. By being worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, doubting, you break the thread of union with God. And he says, and you bind my arms in such a way that I am, he's using God. God is unable to operate in you, waiting for you to put yourself at peace again in order to make the threat of your human will rise again and continue my work in you. So he says very clearly, stop being restless. Be attentive to what Jesus is showing. He says, don't break this thread of union between you and me. Don't bind my arms that I'm unable to operate in you. I want to breathe in your breathing. I want to beat in your heart beating. I want to gaze in your gazing, to listen in your listening, to speak in your speaking. I want to reign in you. I want you to share in my divinity. And I'm waiting for you to be at peace again. This peace is Jesus. This peace is the life of Jesus, the life of Mary reigning in you. So again, what are you worried about? What are you anxious about? What are you concerned about? What are you negative about? What are you doubting? What's in you that's disturbed? Now, if it's serious sin, you got to go to confession to be free of it. If it's your human inadequacies, you're going to learn. Jesus is going to teach you how to be like him, how to be like his mother through Louisa. He says, and then you can be at peace again. Why? He says, to take that thread of union with God again, so God can continue his work in you. He says this to Louisa. I am creating a divine masterpiece in every little child of the most holy divine will. Can you imagine what God is going to do with you? Creating you and me to become a divine masterpiece of God. No one can compare to that. Why? He loves our uniqueness. He loves our individuality. And he wants to make of us what he has planned from the beginning of time, a divine masterpiece. See, this is why the little children of the Holy Divine Will are peaceful, joyful, and happy. God has got everything planned. And he looks at us and he says, are you ready to begin to live an abundant life? Are you ready? He says, I've got everything planned for you. He says, be at peace. Put back this thread of union with God. He says, and let me continue my divine work in you. See, to be in heaven, you have to be perfect. You can't get to heaven without being perfect. This is why most go to purgatory, to be purged of that which they refuse to change while on earth. Our Lord has magnificent plans. And he looks at us and he says, let me do what I have planned. He says, don't bind my arms any longer. Let me operate in you. Let me produce this divine masterpiece so that you can be completely happy. And Jesus says, and I can be completely happy. See, it's the whole reason we're here on earth is to allow God to have his way with us. And it's very close. God has got great plans. But he needs us to cooperate. He needs us to give our fiat. Volume 6, 4, 12, 1904. The same for the soul. When the soul is exposed to the rays of the divine sun, if she is calm, she perceives the divine sun within herself. Okay. Jesus is saying, come to me. Okay, what's he going to do? He says, you are going to receive the rays of this divine Son of God. And if you are calm, if you are peaceful, you will perceive that divine Son within yourself. Why? How? Because when you're baptized, we enter into the image of God. And what happens at that point is you become in the image and likeness of image of God. You enter into this peace, joy, and happiness. And through the holy sacraments, we become closer and closer to God. And now with this book of heaven, we're now going to enter into the likeness of God. You're baptized a priest, prophet, and king. You are no longer a son or daughter of Adam. You become a son and daughter of God. And therefore, you, with this peacefulness, being calm, trusting in God, hoping in God, having confidence in God, you perceive this divine Son within yourself. That's what Jesus is showing us. He's showing us that this is what he has planned. This is what he's going to have his way if we let him. And then the soul feels this divine heat. The soul sees the divine light. And the soul understands these divine truths. You begin to experience things from a divine perspective. Your intellect, you begin to see things from the Christ point of view, from a divine perspective. This divine perspective is so essential to God that The church teaches us this through the dogma and doctrine. And when we listen to the church, obedient to the church, we begin to understand things from this divine perspective. Your memory is not about what they said about me or my family. Your memory becomes of Jesus. What did Jesus do? What was Jesus like? What did Jesus say? And that's why we have the Book of Heaven. We can listen to Jesus every day speak to us as he revealed these truths to Louisa. This is why Louisa put everything down on paper. It's for the souls who will read, study, and put into practice what Jesus has said. And it's magnificent. Nothing can compare to this. And then Louisa says, you feel the heat, everything becomes alive in you. You feel the light, you see the light, everything becomes clear for you. And you understand the truths. You begin to recognize this great love that God has for you and for all mankind. But if the soul is disturbed, even though the soul has this divine son within herself, she feels nothing but confusion and disturbance. I keep on going back to my dear friend who was filled with complaints all her life. Rarely could she just say, thank you, Jesus. She was disturbed. She was confused. She loved Jesus and Mary. She went to daily Mass. She prayed the rosary every day. She wore the scapular every day. But she was filled with complaints, negativity. And I couldn't help her. I tried. I really did. And finally I just said, you know, you love your misery. You love being miserable. You know, you won't let anybody free you from it because you don't want to be free from it. You want to live a miserable life. And even on her deathbed, I've mentioned this before, I was saying to her, you know, you got to stop this. You know, you're going to spend a long time in purgatory for every thought, every negative thought, every complaint. This has got to be purged out of you. And she couldn't let it go. And I can't wait to see her in heaven, but it's going to be a long purgatory for her. She's a good soul, but she could not stop being negative. It was her life. And if anything, if that's like us in any way, I got to tell you, it's not a happy life. Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. I mean, Jesus wants us to be peaceful so he can become alive in you. He wants you to smile. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have confidence in him. I don't know how many people I've run into who, you know, all they talk about is doom and gloom. That's not a little child of the divine will. I'm sorry. What does Jesus say about the doom and gloom? He said to Louisa, there's going to be a chastisement, a great chastisement. But he says, get ready for the kingdom. He says, those that are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative are anticipating hell. Those that are peaceful, joyful, and happy are anticipating heaven. I believe what Jesus says. I really believe that. And so what Jesus says, he looks at us and he goes, where are you? What are you? Where is this unpeacefulness in you? He says, where is it? Get rid of it. Don't bind Jesus anymore, he says. Don't be restless any longer. Trust in him, believe in him, hope in him, have confidence in him. God loves us. And don't drive him away from you. So he says this. He says, don't feel, he says, if you are disturbed, even if you have the Son, divine Son within you, you feel nothing but confusion and disturbance. Therefore, hold peace as your greatest treasure, if you cherish being united with me. Do we cherish being united with Jesus? How do we know? It's if we long to spend time with him in front of the Blessed Sacrament, where we say, I want to be with you. I want to be alone with you, Lord. I want to look and fall in love with you. I want to look at you and fall in love with you. That's how we can know if peace is our greatest treasure. Being united with Jesus. Do we want to spend time at Holy Mass? Do we get there early to prepare our souls? Do we stay after Mass to be in union with God, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him and worshiping him? Do we pray the Holy Rosary? Do we wear the scapular? Do we attend First Saturday Masses? That's all Our Lady asks, those three things. Do we pray the rounds? Do we do our acts in the divine will? Do we read the Book of Heaven? Do we want to read the Book of Heaven? Do we plan to read the Book of Heaven every day? I mean, that's why I think God gave us the calendar, so that we can every single day pray those prayers, learn from Jesus. And then at the end of the year, we've gone through 35 volumes. And then the days that, like, I think there's 3 days when there's no writings on those days, that's where you finish volume one. You read volume one in those 3 days, divided up in a third for a third. And on those 3 days, then at the end of the year, you've read all 36 volumes. What does that do for you? He says, your greatest treasure is you are being united with God. It's happening. And you're not the same anymore. You can't be the same anymore. You're with Jesus. Volume 6, 1904. My daughter, as soon as the soul goes out of the depth of peace, the soul goes out of the divine sphere and finds herself either in the diabolical or in the human sphere. Do you see what Jesus is showing us? It's either with him in peaceful, being peaceful, joyful, and happy. Or if you're not in the depths of peace, if you don't have, as he says, the King of Peace reigning in you, dwelling in you, he says you will either find yourself in the diabolical or in the miserable human sphere. Either or is, we don't want that. We don't want definitely don't want the diabolical. But we have to learn not to want the physical sphere as well. We want to be alone with Jesus. That's all we want. One with Jesus. Fused with Jesus. Again, letting Jesus gaze in our gazing, speak in our speaking, beat in our heart beating, breathing in our breathing. It's heaven. And Jesus says, if you're not peaceful, I can't be there. So, the Lord tests us when we say, I will be peaceful. Then he says, okay, what about this situation? And he tests us. And as soon as you become disturbed, you haven't learned to say fiat yet in all situations. The Lord looks at us. He's got great plans. He loves us immensely. He desires that we turn to him. And He's got great, wonderful, magnificent plans. So he looks at us and he says, can you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you believe in me? Do you hope in me? And we go, yes. He says, then be peaceful. I'm here with you. Sometimes when we run into a person or people who disturb us, Jesus is saying, I'm allowing you to be in this situation so that you can pray for them, help them. Look at their misery. And we say to Jesus, thank you. Three things. Thank you, Jesus, that you showed me this. Number two, I'm sorry, Lord, for this situation. I'm really sorry. This is hurting you, Lord. And number three, I want to repair this as if this never happened. These three things are part of being a little child of the divine will. Thank you, Lord, for showing this to me. I'm sorry this is happening to you. And Lord Jesus, I want to repair this. I don't want you to be sad anymore. What is so magnificent about this is everything's being repaired. This is the prayer in the church. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics, enkindle us the fire of your love, send forth your Spirit, and we will be recreated, and then you will renew the face of the earth through us. This is what's happening. It's happening as you go through this test that God has given to you. Jesus wants us to turn to him. He says it is peace alone that reveals whether the soul seeks God for God or for herself, whether the soul operates for God or for creatures. Peace is there. It reveals whether the soul seeks for God or for yourself, or whether the soul operates for God or for people. In fact, if she does it for God, the soul is not disturbed. Lord Jesus, I want to repair this for you. I'm sorry this is happening to you. Thank you, Lord, for showing this to me. I'm sorry it's happening to you, Lord. I want to repair this. The soul is not disturbed. And if we can be said that the peace of God and the peace of the soul combine together and the boundaries of peace expand around the soul in such a way that everything is converted into peace. Even wars themselves. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He's using us to bring peace to the earth. And it has to be within each and every one of us. And he's going to test us until we pass these tests. And we have to say to Jesus, you got to help me pass this test, Lord. I'm very weak. You've got to help me pass this test. If you fail, let's go back to my friend who was always miserable. You got to go to purgatory to pass this test. And it's going to be far more difficult in purgatory. Far longer than earth. We've got to pass this test. Fiat is what Jesus is taught. He's teaching us this through Louisa. Fiat, fiat, fiat. Let it be done as you say. Let it be done as you wish. So Jesus is looking at us and he's asking us, are you willing to begin to live this abundant life? Are you willing to do this? But if the soul is disturbed, Jesus says, be it even in the holiest things. I know people that are very angry that there's no masses, no public masses. But if the soul is disturbed, even in holiest things, it shows after all that it was not for God, but it was for her own self or for some other human purpose. See, Jesus says it has to be all for his glory. Therefore, when you do not feel calm, call yourself a little to see what actually is in there and then destroy it. And then you will find peace. Do you see what Jesus is saying? If even in holy things, calm yourself down. And then what is really there? What are you really upset about? And then destroy it. And then you will find peace. You're passing the test. Jesus is there. You're saying, I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. Great things are in store for those who love Jesus. Great things are in store. And he's looking at us. And he's asking us, can you give your fiat? Can you live in peace, joy, and happiness? Can you begin to live heaven on earth now? And when we say yes, he goes, good, do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.